Today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're joined by Alex, the Assistant Director of Services. We've talked before on this podcast about IT shortages. Today we're talking about this IT skills gap. So just some statistics up front, which I will link in the description. I was doing some research and I found someone saying 6 out of every 10 large enterprise having reported experiencing skills gaps. And then another one saying 75% of IT decision makers have identified skills gap with their IT staff. So Alex, is this something you are seeing out in the field when you're working with businesses, when you're working with IT staff out there? Are you seeing this skills gap or is this news to you?
No, we're definitely seeing it and hearing it a lot lately. Where you see it the most is what we call as like silos. Engineers get put into silos. I just do networking. That's all I know. I just do help desk tickets in the sense of end users. I do cybersecurity, do nothing else. We are getting, the industry is going into a lot of silos. The bigger networks you get in, the more siloed everybody gets. The days of the jack of all trades, Swiss Army knives of IT engineers are starting to become further away. It's just everybody wants you to be specialized in something. So we are definitely seeing it in the market right now of those shortages of engineers who know it all and don't want to just be no one specialty 100%.
I could see a problem with that other side, though. A jack of all trades is it's hard to know, have really deep knowledge in something when you're doing everything. And then the other side of it is, you know, if you are really deep into one thing, you can't be helpful anywhere else. So is there, this is a trick question, I guess, is there really a right way to do it?
That's a great question. It depends on what you're looking for. As there's two ways to look at that, as a business and as an engineer. We'll focus on the business side of things because that's where we are more or less talking about. But as a business, you want that knowledge, I think, of a little bit of everything so they can, even if it's just a base knowledge in some other areas, they can at least help cover vacations or shortages or something like that, that they can at least don't lose traction when they're gone. But yeah, there are some benefits of knowing your craft very well. Definitely in our industry where it's changing every day. I mean, you blink and the industry has already made a different turn, a left turn instead of a right turn that you're expecting differently. I mean, our field's changing drastically, definitely with AI right now. I mean, it's changing into even faster than we ever thought it would.
I mean, that kind of leads me into my next question is, what do you think the cause of this skills gap is? And you kind of mentioned AI and this rapid technology change. Could you kind of expand on that and sort of how it's resulting in this skills gap?
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, you have other industries more exciting, more glamorous in IT than IT help desk and engineer and those degrees. Cybersecurity was our first initial cut into the share of people we had going to school for it. Before, we were fighting against people doing programming. That was our initial first battle. And then you got accustomed with that shortage. And then we had security nip into our heels again, where you have people wanting to specialize in there. And then now you have AI. Now it's coming in and people are going to school for that. And that's going more back to the programming side of things a little bit more, but then it's kind of putting life back into there. So now you're splitting people going to school in three areas and specialties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's be honest, there's a financial side of the things too. But some of those other areas right now, AI and security pay a lot more than your traditional help desk employee. And that's why you're starting to see a bigger skills gap, because there's not a lot of interest in the field for that.
Definitely. So if you were a business, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, that you're seeing this skills gap and issues in your department, what can you really do?
Yeah, so there's two major options you have. Let me rephrase that. You have three. You can obviously hire more staff, which comes at a cost, legit, literally a cost. You have the ability to invest in them in training. That's a big thing in our industry right now, is there's a lot of good companies that are producing a lot of training content and stuff like that to help give your employees, your IT staff, the education. And the third one, and a little biased too, is the managed service route and the providers that are out there. And that gives you the ability of outsourcing some of your staff and the knowledge. Now, not that our engineers know everything, but you go from one to 40, 60, 80, you know one of them is going to have the answer and have seen it. And your odds just go up when you can tap into a bigger pool of engineers and help desk knowledge than you can with just one individual.
For sure. Well, I was going to try to catch you on that question because if everyone else is seeing issues with skills, I mean, how is your team, even in an MSP, able to stay relevant and stay on top of things?
Yeah.
And you mentioned, like, when you have 40 of them, someone is experienced in that.
Yeah. So we're fortunate that we have engineers coming right out of school and people who have 20 plus years in the industry. So you've seen a lot. So that's one, just exposure is one. Two is we invest a lot into training. That's why I kind of put it into my things of what you can do too yourself is we invest a ton of money into training, and that helps them be able to be exposed to it. And really, the last one, it's the hardest thing to do as a single off company is exposure. Not years of exposure, but exposure to the different technologies. We see it all, and all the manufacturers, all the different ways, good ways, bad ways for things to be set up. We see it all, and that also helps with that growth. So I'd say that, what we're doing currently.
I mean, we've talked about compliance on this podcast too. There's a huge part about having a business that has all these compliance expectations, even if you are not in an industry that requires that, having a staff or this IT group that has to be trained on so much extra because of who else they support is kind of a benefit, you know? I can imagine the expectation on your employees are potentially higher than a one person in a one business field.
Yeah, I could probably say we probably go through a little bit more screening and training in all the different areas of compliance. So that alone, and the exposure that we give them to understanding the difference between HIPAA and everything like that, and why, what it all covers. And then you have all the banking industries, you have government, and everything like that. And once you start to get into deeper into that, you start to get a better understanding of why MSPs are growing, and a good option is because of the amount of compliance that we have to know and are constantly being trained in and having to be held to.
For sure. Can you talk a little bit about, so let's say I'm a business that, you know, I have an IT person on staff. I need a little extra support, but I don't need everything. I mean, how are you guys, what functions are sort of best for you guys to come in and support? What are some of those gaps that we're talking about today that you see a lot of that you're supporting? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, so the biggest gap that we see primarily are two major gaps. You have a security gap, where your staff just can't keep up with all the regulations that your insurance and everything else is carrying. And I know we talk a lot about that on this podcast. So I'll focus on my side of the house. And that's really networking. Networking is the biggest hole that we see the most is you have a lot of people that can help an end user who is super personable, can help them with printing issues and setting up a new computer and all that stuff. When it comes to understanding the delicacies that come with networking, making sure that they are secure and set up and functioning correctly, that is the biggest hole that we see because usually that's networking is one of those things that always ends up getting siloed to an individual person or department. And that's the hardest thing that we see when we work with partners is that's usually where we pick up a lot of knowledge. And the other area we do is they have a lot of entry level or level one engineers, and they want escalation help. They want somebody who can do a higher level things or can just sit there and grind on a problem a little bit longer than their staff member who's got 30 people lining out their door. We can definitely help with spending a little bit more time on an issue, working with a vendor and stuff like that.
For sure. Do you ever assist in like upskilling IT staff? Like, do you ever assist with like training or sort of getting that IT admin back up off the ground?
What an interesting question. So we partner with a lot of companies and their current IT staff. And while there's not probably formal training, we definitely can help them with them shadowing along and seeing us. And they have access, like how our engineers learn is based off of ticket notes and seeing how a problem was resolved and everything like that. And they can read a lot into there. It's not that we're opposed to it. It's just usually they go, you take care of this. We'll stay in our lane. You stay in your lane kind of thing. And it's, but yeah, there's definitely the ability for them to get trained via us by just seeing what we're doing.
For sure. So we've talked a lot high level kind of business. I would like to focus a little bit more on the IT engineer. And, you know, what if a business doesn't have it in their budget to do an MSP? I mean, how can that IT admin really advocate within their company for what they need and what training they need or what resources they need?
What a great question. First is becoming informed. Know what you are looking for. The greatest asset that we give our engineers is not only what certification do you want to get, but why? What is the benefit of the certification that you're going to get out of it? Is it just exposure? Some certs are really just more of an exposure to the topic or the technology or the theory behind it. And then there's other ones that get so detailed into it that make you certified and help you with relations with that vendor that also happens. So understanding what you're hoping to get out of the certification is going to be the first thing. And then helping the business understand what that return is going to be. If I get a general certification in networking, what is my return to the business versus if I pick on Azure, if I want to get more certified in Azure, well, now you're fine tuning yourself a little bit deeper into a tool. What are you hoping to get out of it? Are you hoping that you guys are eventually going to go to that area and you're getting trained in it? You know, are you positioning the company in that direction? So kind of knowing what you are kind of hoping to get out of it is going to help you sell this upstream and just being informed. The more knowledge you have, the better it's going to be when you go into that meeting and ask for that money. Certifications could be as cheap as $300, could be a couple thousand dollars. So being informed on that as well helps them understand, well, if we invest in that, well, it's going to be a lot cheaper than hiring another staff person to help do it or outsourcing or augmenting the staff with an MSP. So it could, you know, you come in informed with the money and what their return's going to be, that ROI. As an IT individual, you know it very well. Definitely our budgets are the most scrutinized because it's hard to see where the dollars go and what we do. But you come in with that, I think you could have success.
So let's say that this person has kind of reflected on where they're sort of missing or what they're missing in their department. How do they prioritize where to start?
Boy, such a great question. a staff of one and a staff of 20 is going to be slightly different because you can spread out the knowledge across 20 individuals versus one. Now, as an individual, it's going to boil down to where do you see the biggest weakness and the biggest gain in your return? So I know that sounds like this throwaway answer because I'm not actually answering it, but it's just the truth. You're going to know based off of that list. So if you say, I need to learn security, I need to learn networking, I need to learn cloud. Okay, out of those three things, what helps me or what crosses over the most? Honestly, the first one is going to be networking that jumps out of the page. If you gave me those three, I'd tell you go networking first. It's going to cross over between security because security is going to tell you to secure that aspect and talk about securing the network. And then Azure, while it's in the cloud, it still has networking components. Understanding that concept is going to help you. So simplify it to what is going to give you the best crossover. Start there and then build off of it would be my recommendation.
For sure. As we sort of wrap up, I want to give you a chance to share anything else that you didn't. And then my closing question is, how do you see IT or managed services evolving with all of this technology that we started off with? Everything is moving so fast. It's hard to keep up. How do you see it changing in the next year or two or five?
I don't think we really missed anything. I think we covered a lot of good topics here. So we'll kind of focus on what the future looks like. Hold on. I mean, there's my short answer. Hold on. It's gonna be a fun ride. If you are somebody who likes that fast pace and the evolving, changing, it's gonna be a crazy ride here over the next probably 2 to 5 years would be my guess. Just based off of what I've seen and what you kind of see on the roadmap of where we're going. So I think it's gonna be a good experience for if you're looking at managed service providers and stuff like that. It's going to be where they position themselves. That would be my first question I'd ask is, where are you positioning yourself in the 2 to 5 year time frame? Where are you investing in your training and your resources? Where are they going to align with you? Those are the things that I would focus on if I was out there as a business owner or looking for help would be, where are you aligning? Where do you see the trends going? That's going to be very telling. I won't sell the secret sauce here, but we have definitely a direction that we're going in our 3 to 5 year picture that we are moving towards and positioning ourselves into to be ready for what we believe is the thing. No, again, it could go left instead of right and or something like that, because that's how our field works. But we're going to be ready with what we believe the trend is going.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.